Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
And I like to focus on parenting, so this morning I'll be talking to you moms, but I'll also be talking to you dads. And I think it goes beyond being a parent. It's really about modeling. I believe that we are called to model. We're called to leave a legacy and make a difference in the life of those around us. We understand that when it comes to doing life, I'm not living solo. I'm influencing people around me. And sometimes we don't think that we do create a domino effect or a ripple in the water. And sometimes we think that whatever I do and how I decide stuff, it only affects me, but it doesn't. And so we're all models, and we want to realize that. What I'd like to talk about this morning is having a heart for God is the heart of parenting. Having a heart for God is the heart of parenting. You can read all the books on how to parent, and there's nothing wrong to read books on how to raise your kids, how to know your kids, and discipline, communication, and so on. And there's great books that can be very instrumental or useful when it comes to raising our kids. But what I'd like to talk about this morning is foundational, that if I don't get that, it doesn't really matter what kind of books you read and how smart you are when it comes to raising your kids. I believe the heart of raising your family and to have a godly home, like I said, it's to have a heart for God, a desire for God, a longing for Him. I believe that's where we experience transformation. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. You want to see that in your lives. For me now, being a grandpa, I need to realize my influence. I need to realize that what I can give on, what I can pass on as a priority, as the most important thing, is my heart for God. And so my prayer is that we would realize as parents, as influencers in our society and in our community, that how are we going to do that is when we have a heart for God. If you have your Bible, take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. It talks about the ordinance or the challenge that God gave the Israelites as what they were called to obey. And there's lots that was said in chapter 6 and also chapter 5. We see the summary of the heart of God, what He's looking for and what we want to see in our lives. It says in verse 5, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols to your hands and bind them upon your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So what Moses is saying here, he's emphasizing and calling Israel to live a life like this where we love God, but also to live out our faith with this statement of loving God of all of our heart, all of our soul, and with all of our strength. And it's for all. It's not just for a selected few. It's not just for parents. It's for all of us. And here we have in verse 6 and verse 7 or to verse 8, we see the call to model it and to model how that looks. And so it's important for us to realize that as we love God, and as we invest in God or we grow in that relationship with God, it will trigger this modeling. And so we cannot separate loving God from modeling, because really we model who we are. And so when you look at loving God with all your heart, what does it mean to love God with all your heart? Well, in the Hebrew language, we find the word levav, where it talks about making a conscious decision to follow Jesus or following God. It's making a decision. You know, I'm going to follow God. It's a logic decision. It's the heart of man, your being, your person that says, hey, I'm going to follow God. I choose to follow God. I choose to follow his ways. I'm aiming at him. He's my target. That's how I want to live my life. I want to live a life that honors God. It makes me think about Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. It's not in the back. But it says, for if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land we are living. But he says at the end, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. So he makes the stand. He's saying to the Israelite, if you want to follow the gods that our forefathers followed on the other side of the river, like in Egypt, you can go. Go ahead. If you want to follow the God of today, the Amorites, the culture of today, you can. But me and my household will serve the Lord. And so that has a lot of implication, right? When you say that you will serve the Lord or worship God, it means that you say no to other things. It means that you are engaged and you're committed to a direction or to God. It becomes your value. It becomes the base of your values. And so when it comes to raising our kids, when it comes to being an influence, I believe it's important for us to make a stand. It's important for us to make a decision. It's not because we are or you are in a Christian environment. Maybe where you work at home, at church, or not at church, at your work, and maybe at church too, hopefully at church, you work with Christians. And sometimes we think this is what Christianity is all about. It's a cultural, but we don't want to see a cultural Christianity as much as it's fun to see God outside in our community. But we want it to be out of a true relationship with God and not out of tradition and Christian memories. Would you agree? And so we want more than Christian memories. We want more than just being in a culture where it seems that God is present. We want to make a decision. We want to respond to the call. And so when it comes to loving God with all your heart, it's you engaging in a walk to follow God. And it's not only for parents, it's for all of us. At one point, we need to make a decision to follow God. But as a parent, we want to make it clear. We want our kids to know that we made that decision, right? We want our culture to know that we've made the decision of following God. I don't think it's wishy-washy. I think it's pretty clear. And so the first thing that God is requiring of the Israelite is to make a decision. Are you going to follow the Lord? Are you going to walk in his ways? Are you going to commit yourself on this path of seeing God being honored? And so that's a decision that we have to make. And it starts there, where we say, God, yeah, I commit myself to you. I set my path on pursuing you. My heart has decided to follow you. My heart is a yes toward you. And God, help me to walk in your path. So that's what it really means. The second thing that we are invited to do, it's to love the Lord with all of our soul. When it comes to loving the Lord of all of your soul, it talks about desire. It's more than duty. It's you desire God. You want him. You're passionate about him. Like, we have passion for different things, right? It's like, later on today, I'll be watching the Habs play, and hopefully they will win. And I'm texting my son in the city, and at one point he was saying, right now I'm standing on the sofa. Because he's all like he's in the game, and I thought it was very funny. And we have passion for different things, and there's nothing wrong to have some passion for different things. But where's my passion for God? Right? Is God just is it only a Sunday morning thing? Is it like I said a while ago, a Christian memory? That's my inheritance or my heritage? Or do I have a desire for God? Am I longing for God? Do I have a thirst for God? Do I involve God in all my decisions? Where God is present, that he's not distant, and I want him. And I think this is huge when it comes to the heart, when it comes to the soul, when it comes to having passion for him and a desire for him, right? So if I ask you a question today, are you passionate about God? Are you excited about God, right? When someone talks to you about a story of or an event and or a hockey team or a football team, whatever it might be, you get excited, right? And I'll give you an illustration that I probably gave in the past. I remember when I was younger, I went through an interview. I was thinking about experiencing a change when it comes to being a pastor. And I was I applied to a staff. It was a bigger church than the church I pastored. And so I went through the interview. I went through the first level. I went through the second level. And then I was pretty excited. I was meeting the lead pastor. He was going to interview me. We were on the phone. And the first question he asked me, I wasn't expecting this question. He says, "Talk to me about Jesus." He wanted to see what was going to bubble from my heart, or if I had to cook it, or if it would just bubble up, right? And so I was trying to make it bubble up because I understood what he was trying to say. But when it comes to our faith, when it comes to our soul, we want to be excited about God, right? We want to be caught up with him. This is what triggers our devotion, our love for him. I know it's way more than emotions, but when you decide in your heart to follow God, and when you engage yourself at the level of the soul, this is where it shows that you follow God. It shows that God is present in your life because of what you do and what you reflect, right? And so as a parent, as a grandparent, what you want to do is you want to commit. You want to engage in following Jesus. But you also want to follow Jesus with excitement. And this is why sometimes we have to say, "God, fan into flame, stir my heart. Give me a fresh view of who you are. Come and move in your spirit in my life so I can be passionate about God." But when we stop and we think about the song that we just sang and we think about the cross and we think about the love of God, there's so much to be excited about, right? And so it has to be more than an obligation. We want it to be vibrant in our hearts. It has to be more than mechanical. It has to be heartfelt, right? And I believe this is contagious, right? Like I said, it's more than a Sunday morning thing. It's where we involve God in everything that we do. So we follow God, but at the same time, we are excited to, and it prompts us to do his will. The third thing that you find, or what God is requiring of the Israelites and also requiring of us, is that we would love him with all of our strength. And the Hebrew word is me'ad. It means it involves my energy, it involves my effort, my resources, my generosity. It involves my services, using my ability for him. It refers to actions and investment. Actions and investment. It's to have a kingdom-focused living. That's what he was saying. That's what God was relaying the message through Moses. I want you to love me with all your strength, where you focus on what I focus, where you do what I have in heart, that you follow my example, that you are caught up with the things that are bigger than you, that you live out of mission, that you live not just for yourself, but you live out of mission. And so we're invited by God to use our energy, use the giftings, our resources for his kingdom. That wherever you work, if you have a business or you work in school or you're an employee or you're working at Tim Horton, you realize that you're on a mission, that life is more than making money. I remember asking a young lady when I was a youth pastor, I was talking about purpose, and I was saying, "So what's your goal in life?" She says, "I want to make money." And I said, "Okay, but what do you want to do in life?" And she was serious. "I want to make money. I don't care what I'm going to do. I want money," right? And so that's what she pursued, I guess. Hopefully, she had a change of heart. But the reality is that what am I pursuing? When it talks about of all of my strength, is that you're pursuing God and you use your energy, your resources, and all that who you are to follow through, right? And so I believe To love God with all your heart, to love God with all your soul, and to love God with all your strength, it's the greatest heritage you can give to your kids. It's a life of purpose. It's a life of expression. It's a life of commitment. And I believe that if that's part of your life, there's going to be fruits. There's going to be a ripple effect. Like it or not, there's always going to be fruits. Like it or not, there's always going to be ripples. But the reality is that if I choose to do life God's way, there's going to be some awesome, beautiful ripples. It doesn't mean it's perfect. God is not expecting perfection from you. But if you align yourself to follow God, and you give yourself to Him, and you say, God, I follow You. I am engaged in my heart, and I'm living it out. Then your kids are seeing that. You become contagious. You're making a difference. And it's not like now you're, let's say you're here and you say, well, I don't have any kids in my house anymore. Like I remember when the kids left the house, it was like, woohoo, right? It was awesome to have them. It was awesome to see them go, right? But it doesn't stop there. Would you agree for those that have older kids? You can't stop being a dad. You can't stop to be a mom. It's not like they're out of the house now that you're not a dad anymore. You're a dad for life. You're a mom for life. And so this is why there needs to be this move of God in my life. You know what I realized? One of the most important things that I need in me as a grandfather, as a father, what I need to see in me, it's transformation. Can you say that to your neighbor? Transformation. It never stops. Where I let God transform me so I can commit to a deeper level, so I can love with more affection, so I can serve with more commitment and more generosity and not to hold back. That's my challenge. That is all of our challenge, to grow in this, to grow in commitment, to grow in affection, and to grow in generosity. So we want to see that. The second thing that we find in this text is love His word. Can you say that to your neighbor? The call to love His word. In verse 6 it says, these commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Can you say that to your neighbor? Upon your hearts. And when they're upon your hearts, it's because they're called to be applied. You don't put something in your heart that you don't want to see in your life, right? So if you store or if you you let the word of God penetrate your heart, it's because you want to live them out. You want to live the word of God out. And it's about living out, right? Like I said, it's not about perfection. It's having a heart that aims to walk the talk. Like there's too many pointing and not enough examples. Like in the old days when you didn't have GPS, when you got lost in some city, you would stop at the gas station if you didn't have a map. The best thing to do is you should have a map, and we had this book with all the maps. But anyway, it happened sometimes that I couldn't follow the map, or we couldn't know exactly where we were when we arrived to Atlanta, and Atlanta is so big and we're totally lost. So we stop at a gas station. This guy says, I'm asking this direction. And this guy said, oh yeah, for sure. Go a kilometer, or oh, they would say a mile, and then hang a right, and then go a little deeper. You'll see a bridge, and then you'll see like a hotel, motel, and then you got to go a little further, and you're probably going to see a bird on this line, and the bird will be looking in that direction. So wherever the bird is looking at towers, and this is where you got to go. And then at one point, as they give you direction, the only thing that I'm hearing is blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. So I go in the car, and my wife says, you have the direction? And my famous answer is, oh, yeah. Then you pray, you intercede, you speak in tongues, God, show me the direction where I should go. Or you can go to the gas station, and this guy says, hey, wait a minute, I'm going that direction. Can you want to follow me? Yeah. And then your kid is in the washroom at the gas station, and then you say to the guy working at the pump, and say, hey, I'll come and pick him up later, because you don't want to miss the guy that wants to give you a direction, right? You don't do that. But man, are you quick to buckle up and to follow the person that knows where he's going, and you're tailing him for sure, because he knows where he's going. Well, I think it's the same thing when it comes to our walk. It's easy for people to say, do this and do that. And it doesn't work like someone that is living it. Like, it's pretty hard to give direction to someone, especially when it comes to faith, when you're not walking on it, on the road. It's so easy for us to tell our kids, this is how you should live, and we're not living according to it, what we just said, then we lost our authority. Actually, it's kind of pointless, right? So when our kid sees us practice his word in humility, in dependence on God, in repentance, where we're not afraid to apologize, when they see us love and walk in faith and forgive, you know, forgive, and practice his presence, you'll have a huge impact on your kids, right? So what we need the most is to see God transform us, because that's my influence. Like, when I pursue godliness and authenticity, I model it. It shows the way. This is what raising family is all about, is authenticity. It's godliness. It's making a path. It's showing the way. It never stops, you know? As a parent, as a father, as a mother, it never stops. So what comes out of my life when I bump my kids, right? What comes out? Does Jesus come out when I bump my kids? What comes out, right? Say, God, come. I pray that when I bump my kids, godliness would come out. Value would come out and care would come out. And not flesh, not the flesh, not anger, not retaliation, right? It's like, I forgot my string at home, so I took my computer cord, and I gave this illustration, but I think about that in many ways as a pastor, as, you know, I look at our staff and all that, and I realize that to push, it doesn't work very well. Push doesn't work very well. But if you carry it and you pull, it makes a big difference. Like, there's too much pointing and not enough leading. And realize that being a parent, it's all about leading. For sure, you got to give directions. Absolutely, you need to verbalize. I'll talk about that in a moment. But the bottom line is that my kids need more than, there you go. My kids need more than policies and rules. They're looking for integrity and transparency. Like, we know that a cage can restrain a lion. Legalism can restrain someone, but it doesn't change him. Like, a cage can restrain a lion, but it doesn't change a lion. Like, really change the lion, it's transformation. What will change me and change you is transformation. And only God can do that. So we pass on our value. And the question is, what am I passing on? I have this quote I read. It says, it's possible for a mom to be more worried about the stains on her couch than the soul of her son, or a dad to be more focused on the shine and maintenance of his new car than the heart of his daughter. Like, I know, like, you can say, well, pastor, like, hey, I know, we got to be wise, but what's my focus? What am I aiming at? What's the most important thing, right? Then the third thing that we find in this text is live and teach the word of God. In verse 7 to verse 9, it says, verse 7, it says, impress them on your children, talk about it when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands, reminding you of what you do, and bind them to your foreheads as you think. What are you thinking on? Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. At the same time, I have to say that you can have all the verses that you want on your fridge and on your wall, but if they're not in your heart, it's pointless. Because when that was written, the expectation was it was first on your heart, right? So my goal is to impress them to your children, the laws and the regulation, how it should be, it should look like. If it's not in mine, you don't have that sense of authority. You lose it. Because there's no credibility. What I like about this text, if I resume, It talks about taking time. It talks about having pauses in life when you can download, when you can communicate, where you can give examples. And from verse to verse 9, verse 7 to verse 9, it talks about different things. When you go to bed, before, after, when in biblical time, they did a lot of walking. Here it would be driving. Is that you share your God to them. Not just information. You share your value. You share to whom you've committed your life to. You share your passion. You share how you want to live your life, how you want to spend it with your strength, right? And like I said, we live in a busy world of work and activities, and we can go to a soccer practice, we can go to a hockey practice, we got to bring our kids to learn music, and then you have work, and you have weekends, and so on, and we can miss out on the time of investing and verbalizing and being there with our kids. Like, there's also a danger of a mindset that says, you know what, they'll discover them. They will discover it on their own. Well, the world and the spirit of this age would like to teach your kids, would like to take the whole of the wheel for you. And you don't want to have that mindset. We understand that our kids, at one point in the future, they will have to make decision. But at the same time, we're called to influence them by the way we live our life. Here it talks about intentionally, you have devotion. The music you listen in your car, what you watch on TV. Intentionally wanting to do things right that honors God, but also knowing that you're influencing your kids. But intentionally, you take time to connect, and also organically, as you just do life, because it bubbles from you, right? Because if you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and you pursue God, and you maintain a relationship with God, it's going to bubble from your life, right? It's going to be organic, and we want to see that, right? We want to see that. It's to take all occasion and share and express our love for God and bring clarity. It's when the gospel is the fabric of our lives. Where the gospel is the fabric of our life. This is where we transfer it. This is why it's more than information. And as a parents, we have this calling to equip our kids for life and for what is to come. And the greatest thing that we ever can pass on is our faith. Our love for God. All of our hearts, all of our soul, all of our strength. And to see that overflow from us, to see that transpire through our lives. And the last phrase I have, you know, it's never too late. It's never too late. You might be here today and you say, well, I haven't really followed the Lord. I come to church or do this and that, but I haven't really engaged myself to follow the Lord. Maybe you're here today at the level of the soul, is that you're not following with passion. And maybe when it comes to your strength, you're not investing, you don't have a kingdom focus. It's not too late. It's never too late. You know what's the beauty with God? He's able to redeem the years that were lost. Because that's what God is. God is a redeeming God and a gracious God. But my prayer is that today you would say, hey, I know you've called me to be an influencer, and married or not, we're called to influence. But how it will happen? Listen. How it will happen, it's by who you commit your heart to and where is your affection and how you're going to spend your life. Like, it's totally different, right, than being in a school and someone teaches you principles and then it's never there after and you're on your own. That's not how it works. It's like, it's whatever is inside influences, right? Whatever is inside of me, the good or the bad, but that's up to me, comes out. And that's what people catch, right? And so I say, God, I want to have a heart for you. I want to have a soul for you. I want to see my life, my strength, how I spend my life for your fame and for your glory.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.